Good morning, everyone. Very, very good to be here together with all of you. I'm glad you're here on this holiday weekend, and you want to remember to keep praying for those who are regular here but away. You want to ask God to bless them right where they are, right now, that He give them the full blessing they could possibly receive at this moment. I think that would be great, don't you? Well, that was a little unenthusiastic, but okay, fine. I'll take that much. Oh, my. Some of you know that I serve here in Richmond on the board of Embrace Richmond just because of my interest in asset-based community development and some of the things that are developing internationally, actually, in that area. And one of the great stories out of Embrace Richmond is the Southside Soldiers. That is a football team that grew up out of Hillside Court. And have you, any of you been to Hillside Court recently? I didn't think so, no. Right. And it's a very different area from this one, actually. And there was a time when it was called Killside Court because of the murder rate in that area. some of the work that Embrace Richmond did and a few others went into that area and identified some leaders, some community leaders, and just started talking with them and listening to them and saying, you know, what would you love to see happen here? Just things like that, a number of questions like that. And really drew out a number of things. And right now, in Hillside, there is the Hillside Court Association, which is a number of teams all led by residents of that community, all doing things that had never happened before. For example, there are a number of elderly people living in those apartments who did not wish to go anywhere, as you could imagine. They just stayed in the house. Somebody started pulling them together once a week. And now they meet even more often, and they're out regularly all the time. And there's a whole number. You can look up Hillside Court online and check that out. It's quite an exciting thing to see happen. Not everything is, you know, all taken care of by any means. However, the story of the Southside Soldiers is very, very interesting. Young man, young dad in that housing complex of Hillside Court, Tony Lee, just loved football, loved playing football. So, and he saw all these young men, you know, 14 or so, just doing whatever they would do, as you could imagine. And he started pulling them together to practice football. And in just a very short amount of time, he had a football team ready to go. They were practicing. And to get on the team, you had to write an essay as to why you wanted to be on the team. And then you had to do community service. And most of those young men met the elderly residents of Hillside Court at the bus after they came back from the grocery store and carried the groceries back to their place for them. Things like that were going on. And all of it was coming up from within that community. And they did get a little bit of outside money for uniforms and equipment. And they started practicing, and they had the uniforms and were coming along quite well, but there was no league that would want them to play. So they got that far. So Tony Lee finds a spring football league that will let them in. And that league stretches out to Short Pump here. There's the Short Pump Seminoles are part of that league and others. And so they start playing. And the first year they didn't win any games, as you could imagine. They're playing teams of young men who've been just growing up with football. And for many of these people in Hillside Court, it's their first time ever in that kind of sport. But there they are. And they're committed. They're doing community service. None of them miss practice. All that sort of thing is going on. That first year, with no wins, Tony Lee was the league coach of the year. Just incredible. Now, what I think is particularly rich and powerful about that story, and that is still going on, is that it wasn't people who came from outside, from the city of Richmond or who knows where, to go into there and start a football team. It was a resident who loved football and loved seeing young people come together in teams and just grew it up from there. There's also a cheerleading squad now that goes to the games, and they compete as cheerleaders. They go to cheerleading competitions. That was another person who, from that community, just said, let's get this together. There's all kinds of other teams going on there. See, the most important aspect of what goes on in that is that it was the community that produced that activity. It didn't come from the outside. It was from within. And in fact, that is often the most important question when there's something that is about to develop. What's bubbling up? What's there? What's coming up from the ground? What are the gifts that are present and that can be discovered and activated? That's what the scripture says. Salvation bubbles up from the ground. It doesn't come from outside. God provides from outside, but salvation springs up from the ground. That is something that is important for you and me as well. Because what God desires for us here at St. Francis, and in any Christian group, any Christian community at all, is the gifts that are present right there. Right today in this room, there is a vast store of the presence, ministry, and gifts of Jesus within each of us. And one of the things that we might do, and do to great benefit, not only for us, but for many people, is to have those gifts fanned into flame and working together and woven together in such a way that what Jesus desires for us to produce actually comes out. The fruit that he desires is actually born and harvested and to the benefit of many people. Now, there's really only one, if you don't mind my saying, calling it this, fly in that ointment, as far as we're concerned, at least as far as I'm concerned. I'll just be completely honest. Only one. And that is to have the gifts that we have within us fanned into flame and brought to the place of tremendous production is that God will disrupt us. God will just be very disruptive. Have you ever noticed that about God? You're reading the Bible and some bam, the people get, whew, Joseph thrown down a cistern, all kinds of things. Very disruptive. I don't know about you, but I would prefer a picture of God that's just calm, peaceful, start following Jesus. Everything is just fine, no problems, nothing else going on. But that's really not what happens. It doesn't even happen with Jesus. It's just, bam, disruptive. Well, the purpose of the disruption, everybody still with me? Good, I'm just checking. Right? The purpose of the disruption is that it brings you into the place where you have never been before. And you may not have ever met anyone who's been in that place before. And if we were to react to the disruption by going back to what we know as familiar, back to what we desire, back to the way that we used to do things in our job or wherever we like to go back to, what will happen is we will miss the direction of the Spirit of God. And the direction of the Spirit of God will take us to the place that He is creating, that He has made for us, to which He is calling us, and to the desires of His heart for our lives. Anybody feeling too tired for that this morning? Well, good. You're all right there. Excellent. Okay, good. Unless you're too tired to answer. But all right. But that's what happens. The power of God is for the new place into which He brings us. In fact, it is through Isaiah. He says, "Behold, I do a new thing. Do you not perceive it?" Which brings us to today's nobody of the New Testament. We've been looking for the last week we started looking at nobodies of the New Testament, and we're going to for a few more weeks. And today I want to look at Archippus. Anybody ever heard of him except for Jay because he asked me before service started? Archippus. Okay, we have a complete nobody of the New Testament. Archippus was a young man when Paul was writing, who was the son of Philemon and Apphia. Philemon was a wealthy house owner. In fact, there's a whole book of the Bible written by Paul to him. And Philemon had a bond servant, perhaps a slave, I'm not sure what it is, called Onesimus. Onesimus ran away. He said, that's it, ran away. Now, what was going on is before Onesimus ran away is the whole household became a Christian household. And there's some evidence even that Onesimus, the servant, was actually the leader of that church that met in their house. I mean, it's crazy. It's hard to keep track of all this, but nonetheless, there they are. And he just wanted his freedom. He didn't want to be in that situation anymore, ran away. He found Paul in prison in the city of Colossae and was helping him, serving him, taking care of what Paul needed. And you may recall Paul writes then to Philemon and says, listen, Philemon, you and I, we go way back. And you remember this and that. And I want you to take Onesimus back fully as a brother in Christ. No recriminations at all. Now, we're not going to go down that road today to take a look at that. Just what that was a disruption by the Spirit of God upon the house of Philemon, which went into Archippus' life. And Archippus at this time is living in Laodicea. He's he's out of his father's house, but it disrupted his life. So what does Paul do? Paul is writing to the church in Laodicea from Colossae. And remember last week we were looking at Nympha. And he said to Nympha, the church in your house and all this. And we looked at how they were reaching out. And he's saying, now, when Archippus shows up for worship, this is what I want you all to do. I want you to tell Archippus this. Perceive and fulfill the ministry the Lord Jesus has given you. There's that word perceive again. I do a new thing. Do you not perceive it? So, Archippus, next time he shows up for church, they're going to want to have a chat with him. So, listen, Paul wrote us, and Archippus, this is what we want you to know. In fact, we can really help you with this. Perceive what God has put within you and start fulfilling that. We can walk together, and you can do that. Now, I want you to notice something, what we're doing with the nobodies of the New Testament. We're putting in a framework of up, in, and out. And last week, when we looked at Nympha, we looked at the out, how that whole house church reached out. Today, as we're looking at Archippus, we're looking in, how the fellowship, much like this fellowship, reacts and relates to each other. And then next week, we're going to look at reaching up, and that will be Epaphras, one of the most powerful intercessors of the New Testament. We'll be looking at that. Even though you probably don't remember his name or anything, but there he is. But today it's Archippus and his relationship with the fellowship inside. And it has a lot to teach us. See, one of the things that happens when you begin to perceive what Jesus has given you, it is the actual time of perception that changes you. It transforms you. It's another step of you becoming more like Jesus when you have perceived what he has placed within you. And when you have perceived what he has placed within you, you are beginning to step into that space where you now lean on him because it's a new thing. It's a place you've never been in before. You have never had that level of transformation before in your life. And now that you've perceived something that Jesus has given you and you begin to embrace it, that is the step into that place where you've never been before. Now, I don't know about you, but when that happens to me, I want a whole lot of people around me so that I don't feel completely lost in a fog. Like, where am I? I still might feel that way. But there's other people around me who are saying the same thing. What is this? We share at a depth that is essential for following Jesus. So you just can't follow Jesus on your own. You can't say, well, today I'm going to do this and this and this, and I'm not going to worry about it, and that's how I'll be following Jesus. And you just do that by yourself. And then you do something the next day, all that by yourself. You say, well, okay, now I'm going to show up at church, and that'll be great, and I'll listen and decide what I think about it or whatever, all by yourself. Well, you can. Actually, you can. And there'll be nothing particularly wrong with it. You won't be evil. God won't kick you out. None of that is going to go on. The only thing that you will miss is you will not perceive what He has deposited in your spirit. That perception comes when we are walking together. And it comes because you are able to see in another person something of Jesus that you cannot see by yourself. Now, I've shared a bit in the past about how it works. Let me just remind that of you. You have been getting to know me and my wonderful wife, Carol. And it doesn't take all that long to really figure out that she's a very different person than I am. She has a level of creativity and ability to see the world and organize things that is the opposite of the way I do almost everything. You've probably noticed that. Many marriages, of course, are that way. I like to refer to them as magnetic. The opposites have attracted. And there you are. Now, what does that mean, among other things that may be coming immediately to your mind? One of the things it means is this. The way that Carol sees God and relates to God and perceives God is something other than the way I do. And I see more of God because of my relationship with her than I would on my own. And that is the same principle that operates in the fellowship. The closer you are in sharing something with other people in the fellowship, the more of Jesus you will see. Now, that's hard to do with even a group this size. We're somewhere around 30 this morning. A group this size, that would be hard to do with everyone. But if there are a handful of people here who have the same focus of ministry and mission, and that's what they share, and that's what they encourage each other in, you will see more through that group of 5 or 6 or 10 or whatever it is of Jesus than you would all by yourself. Because they are sometimes frustratingly different than you. Well, that's because God is more than we can hold. Now, what happens with that? Suppose you're going along and you're relating well and God is disrupting things and you've got to stop doing what you're familiar with and just wait on the Lord, because those who wait on the Lord will rise up. What happens when that goes on? There is something in your life that Jesus put there from the moment He saw you before time. When He thought of creating you, He thought of a central aspect of who you are. And that has been present throughout your life. And others could see it from the day you were born. And just goes throughout your life to the present. When you are disrupted by the Spirit of God, and you wait on Him, and you step into the new place, that's where that golden thread is the most obvious. It is the most visible. And those around you will be able to see it more clearly than in other kinds of situations. Now, some of you, because we're still a relatively new church and still have the feel of a church plant in many ways, we're attracted to this because you're starters. You just start things. You love starting things. If somebody called you up this afternoon and said, hey, I want to start something, you'd be over at their house right immediately. Say, okay, I'll be right there. You don't even need to know what it is. You're just there. And that's your golden thread. There's all kinds of things that would have never started had Jesus not created you that way, and there had been some kind of disruption going on in your life, and you stepped into that new place and somebody said, hey, we're starting something new. I bet you'd love to be in on that. It's the same with people who can really see what's going on. They just love to see what's going on. Same with people who love to gather people together. You could spot them in your neighborhood, if you have a neighborhood, that it's the house everybody shows up to all the time. Or the ones who like to lift each other up, or the ones who like to make sure you're growing. That's part of the golden thread that goes through your life. The golden thread of Archippus was that he was a fellow soldier with Jesus, with Paul, following after Jesus. Some of the older translations called it a yoke fellow. Archippus was the one who, if you were starting something, you had the yoke of Christ on you, he got into the other side of the yoke and pulled along with you. That was his golden thread all throughout his life. You have one. And what Paul wants to see happen is that as we share our faith, so he's telling Philemon and others, as you share your faith, then we will see all good things that Christ has put in us. Which reminds me of G.K. Chesterton's great quote, the purpose of church order is for good things to run wild. We just sang that, didn't we? It's a good song. No, well, never mind. That's where Jesus is taking us. Good things run wild when you allow the Spirit of God to disrupt your life, disrupt your plan, disrupt the way that you think, disrupt your preferences, and you step into that new place that you've never been before with others, and then the golden threads start coming together and weave together for something that has never been before. That's the purpose of the church. That's what separates us out from other groups in the world. I love other groups in the world. But they're not like us because of that. Because Jesus put something in there and we draw it out for all the fruit of it to come forward. Now, Archippus was, you know, I mean, next time we're in the church, they're saying, hey, Archippus, Paul said wants us to tell you this. Take a look at what Jesus put in you, which we happen to know is this, and fulfill it. So, I bet you can almost guess. You can almost guess what that process was. But I'm going to tell you anyway. That was God telling Archippus something and challenging him to take the next step. What did God tell him? What did God want him to do? Perceive and fulfill. Now, this is the challenge for us. What is God telling you, even today, about your golden thread? What is it that's gone all through your life? That's from Jesus. That's always there every time you turn around. Every time there's a disruption and you step into the place you've never been before, there's something still there. What is it? And what would God want you to do about it? And even deeper and richer, when you see other people who the Spirit of God is disrupting, keep in mind, He always does that without consulting us first, always disrupting. When you see that happening with other people, what is God telling you about that? And how does He want you to be encouraging? See, one of the things that we can struggle with from time to time, I know I do and perhaps you do, is this. Are we a small fellowship that is struggling and barely able to get by? Not able to get much happening and we're trying so hard? Or are we rich and full? I'll tell you which one I think it is. We are rich, and we are rich beyond the amount that we know. We have more deposited from Jesus within us than we are able to perceive, and even at this moment. There is more that is yet to come from us together than we have been able to actually describe, because it's just beyond our reach. And the more we allow God to disrupt us and step into the place we've never been, the more deeply we will see the riches of His glory among us. That's the result of following the purpose. What's crucifying for us is that it always happens in a place we've never been before. Even if we're in the same room, He takes us to a place we've never been before. Can you perceive it? For even today, He does a new thing. Would you please stand? Lord Jesus, we thank You that You have called us, disrupted us, filled us, led us, and guided us. And we ask that even now, the riches of Your glory would flow through us, all to the praise and honor of Your name. Amen.